The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is with you, welcome to the One Fall Podcast, Joshua Adam William Arathant, with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson. So we'll start on a somber note for this podcast. We have arrived at the 20-year anniversary of the passing of the Rocket, the Nugget, Owen Hart.
The Black Heart.
The Black Heart, thank you. The Blue Blazer. Passed away 20 years ago today. One of the greatest of all time. Gone way too soon. Definitely would have been a world champion at some point. To me, he was at times my favorite of the Hearts, even more than Brett. I just loved everything Owen did. He entertained me so much, where Brett had a little bit more of a dry delivery to his promos. Owen was so funny and so full of energy, and there's so many good stories about Owen. But I'll just say kind of really quickly my stuff and let you go then after Joel. I remember exactly that entire day. Weirdly enough, there was some weird like made-for-TV movie about Jesse Ventura on NBC that I was watching that day, and then it came on, and like as a national broadcast during that, coincidentally, that Owen Hart had passed away, and I just could not believe it. There's been very few times when I've heard a death of a celebrity, and I've just completely broken down. I was only 14 at this time, but still just overwhelmed from emotion. And from that day, Owen has meant so much to me that I've always made the promise that my firstborn son will be named Owen, just in memory of Owen Hart. And how much he meant to me as a person, as a wrestler, and the entertainment that he brought into my life. It was nothing to really match it. And also, you know, we record this podcast in Calgary, so that also adds another layer, is that how important he was to Stampede Wrestling and in the Calgary community. And before he left, he was talking about leaving the wrestling business and wanted to be a Calgary firefighter. So, yeah, Owen definitely left an impact, Joel.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I remember being in kindergarten for when Owen passed. I just remember just watching that Monday Night Raw. That's one of the biggest memories that I have, is that Monday Night Raw and Austin coming out and JR and Jim Ross. I just remember that whole evening going through, and my dad refreshing Raja.com, which was where we go for all
classic,
where we go for everything wrestling. And just that night, the news and everything about Owen, and it was like, holy crap, it was surreal. Like it was wild how it all played out. And then as the years have progressed, and you hear accounts from everyone that was there at the time live, and just the confusion and the panic of everything going on with that night, and then the subsequent funeral, and just everything that came from it, both positive and negative, it's surreal still. Like to think it was 20 years ago, and to imagine still watching professional wrestling 20 years later is pretty wild.
And go ahead, dude.
It's one of those. It's one of those things where it's like, this day creeps up on you, but you don't forget. You don't forget it. You don't forget finding out about it, and you certainly don't forget just the impact Owen had, both in ring and outside of ring. I think some of the best moments for wrestlers talking is talking about Owen's ribs and some of those stories, and just hearing every little thing that he did. It left an impact. So for him, 20 years is surreal. It's flown by, but I can't imagine. It was a stupid stunt. That's
Yeah, we can get into that another time. A lot of it was unnecessary. I believe that this time last year actually was the first time either Joel and I, the cemetery that Owen is buried at is actually near my house, so we took that somber walk to go to his grave and kind of took it all in and to kind of pay our appreciations to go to his grave out here in Calgary. I mean, I guess that's a lucky thing to be out here in Calgary is we have the ability to go and pay our respect to him in that sense. And since then, I've gone back and paid respects as well, too. But it's always so weird. It's so weird for me to just feel like this is getting a little morbid, but just my house is like a 10-minute walk from Owen Hart's grave because my heart's pretty close to that cemetery. It's not something that I would desire to have.
No.
I wish that he was still here with us and seeing how he would change the industry because he was so ahead of his time. Everyone talks about how Rey Mysterio is ahead of his time, and no doubt Rey is, but you just have to wonder where Owen's place would have been if he was still around.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like, where I work is within driving distance of the Hart House.
So right.
Going by there and just seeing that, and I've read Bret's book. I've gathered any little bit of knowledge on Stampede Wrestling and everything that came with it. So to drive by there and just think of the history, and it ties in with Owen. It's really neat, and there's definitely you look at it. And last year, the point I'm trying to make is you look at that picture of the Hart Foundation from 97, and Bret's the last one there, and it's really like, that's a little sad. But you walk by and you think of some of the I think the biggest memory for me is the Calgary Stampede or the Stampede pay-per-view that they ran. That was one of the best crowds I think I've ever heard. Was that for the main event with Bret, with Owen, with Davey, with Jim, with
Pillman.
It just there's a legacy there that I'm biased, but I don't think will ever be touched.
No, I mean, yeah, it affects us more because we are Calgarian, so there's always going to be that bias there. But I mean, that's something you've heard Bruce Pritchard review it. Austin says that's the greatest crowd he's ever been in front of. Austin, like any pay-per-view, Austin says that's the greatest one-night crowd. But overall crowd for him is still Chicago, right?
Yeah.
But for one night, Austin has always kind of gone to that part where that is. But, yeah, again, it's 20 years too soon. Kind of a cheap plug. I know John Pollock from Post Wrestling did a really cool kind of audio documentary that's getting high praise. Neither Joel and I have heard it, but I recommend anyone to go. Anytime Pollock has done anything, it's always start good. And he did that really good piece for the Fight Network on Bret a while ago. So obviously, I'm sure that this is also quality work.
Yeah, I very much trust John Pollock and what he puts out.
So RIP to Owen, and unfortunately, we need to continue on with the passing of people. So this one is unfortunately by the hands of a suicide, and that's always, no matter what the case is, always unfortunate, but we definitely lost someone a little too soon, losing Ashley Massaro. She passed away May 16th, and the wrestling world is definitely mourning that, and kind of, again, I'll just do a cheap plug here. Joel did a really cool video on a while back about mental health, and has definitely dug into mental health, and it seemed that she had seemed to have that this unfortunate suicide had deemed to come from a lot of mental health issues and depression, unfortunately.
Well, it's not to get too much into this. I'd have to do way more research, but it sounded like there was something that happened on a military base, and I don't want to get into details because that's not good. I'd rather not repeat it, but it's definitely something that if you
have... Let's just say she was violated on a base and she was told to keep it quiet.
Yeah, and there's a lawsuit case. I think she's also had concussions, which we've learned how concussions impact a person's mental health and the brain. I don't think we understand nearly enough. I think we're just scratching the surface. But you know enough, and I mean, the wild thing is, she was she had sent out a tweet, I think, a day or two before this whole thing happened, about answering fan mail and being really excited and wanting to go back to WWE and be a performer again for them, and just all gone. And it's, you know, I remember her. I remember her for the Diva Search when they had mm-hmm. when she won that. It's the dark side of wrestling. It's the dark side of wrestling that rears its ugly head every once in a while. And you can lay blame on whoever you please, but at the end of the day, this is a person that was suffering and left behind a teenage daughter. So.
Yeah, and I guess the cool thing about that is the wrestling community. The last time I saw it was, what, 25,000 so far has been donated to her daughter's college fund.
And I believe Mick Foley is a big contributor of that. Yeah, I think he donated 5,000.
Yeah, so and the fellow women superstars in the company have been really getting behind it and supporting it. So it's kind of the one cool thing you get to see about this wrestling world is that they come together. We saw it with Jake Roberts, right? We saw it with Scott Hall. I guess the only time we really didn't see it, unfortunately, was for Perry Saturn, which is a whole different story, which is sad. But for this, really cool that it's unfortunate that Ashley's not around, but maybe if she could, it's one of those bittersweet stories, right? If she could have seen how much the wrestling world loved and cared about her, that maybe we could have prevented what happened to her. But yeah. Obviously, you've done the deep dives on mental health and everything like that, and in past things that you've done, and sometimes I don't know where the way out is, but it's unfortunate she can't see like the love of getting this 25K. In just one day, by the matter of fact, for her daughter.
Yeah. This
just up to 27 now, by the way.
29.
29 now. Okay. Yeah. Just crazy. And,
yeah. It's just one of those things where. Yeah, you. Suicide prevention, suicide hotline. I think that's the best place to end this. This one is there are definitely links out there, and there are definitely people that you can reach out and talk to, and that's I think that's a big thing from this story, is that there are people to reach out, and it's important. We've seen it's important to reach out. So
she's also donating her brain was to be donated to CTE, so I'm sure Chris Nowitzki will get a chance to look at I believe a former colleague. I think they were there at the same time. I mean, good that she was about the cause for looking into CT, and we'll see how that comes to fruition. Again, no easy transitions for this. We're in unfortunate territory here. Ric Flair, TMZ, kind of overreported a little bit this past week that he was in the hospital and headed there for critical situation, and it was life-threatening. And thanks to Conrad Thompson for the update, it was a heart surgery that he had already programmed to do, that he had scheduled to do. He wanted to do it before Starrcade so that he could be healthy and good to get out to Starrcade. It was a successful surgery, but the doctors wouldn't clear him to fly on a plane to Las Vegas. But Rick is nice and healthy, so no major health scare, and that's good to know about the niche.
The man just keeps kicking out at two.
He does.
He'll do the flare bump, and death will think he's got him, and then eye poke, back rake, and figure four. Man just keeps going.
It's pretty crazy, too. That's it's unfortunate about the Starrcade, the Starrcast thing. Because he was going to do a podcast sit down with him and Steamboat to talk about their past matches, which have been really cool. And then he also was going to, they were going to do the roast of Ric Flair.
Oh, there's so much material to go watch.
And apparently, I haven't heard it yet, but apparently the roast of Bruce Pritchard is up on Something to Wrestle. And people are shocked that WWE hasn't taken it down yet.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty damning of Bruce. I haven't had a chance to hear it yet. But it's pretty damning on Bruce, apparently. And I can knowing that we know about Bruce and kind of what the stigma on Bruce is, you can only imagine what some of the things that have been said about him.
Oh, I can just imagine.
So, now that we've got some of the somber stuff on, let's move on to the overall world of wrestling this past week. Money in the Bank happened on Sunday, and, you know, it was a pretty good show. Bayley got to win the Women's Money in the Bank, which was very exciting. You know, a little bit of a change. Becky's now designated to Monday Night Raw, unless she wants to use the wild card role.
No.
She's Becky one strap.
Because Charlotte now has 9.
Off her. Was the Charlotte boot the worst botch you've seen in the last 5 years?
I don't know. I think I've probably seen worse, but that wasn't good.
It was really bad. And they tried to shoot different camera angles to shoot. I don't know if Botchamania is out yet, but it's definitely a Botchamania that I'm really excited to see. But nonetheless, everything was, you know, it was going okay.
You know, I was just going to say, I thought this was a decent pay-per-view. I enjoyed moments of it. I thought AJ, there's not enough time in this podcast to talk about how much I loved AJ and Seth. That card stomp to Styles Clash was amazing. If you're a fan of just pure wrestling, that's the match to go see, because that was amazing.
Do we have a star rating on that yet?
4.5.
Yeah, sounds about right. So, yeah, that was just a fantastic match. And then we get to the ladder match. Oh, go ahead.
It was the first time I really felt like Seth was the guy on Raw.
Well, he got to face someone that I think is kind of at his like level, right? And that's why we want him to face AJ or have a Cesaro or face Ricochet or even like, well, I guess he's had Finn matches, but he just hasn't really had those guys, right? He's faced a lot of McIntyres and a lot of Romans. And I think Drew McIntyre's a good wrestler, don't get me wrong. It's just there's those other guys that we know he could have 5-star matches with, right?
Yeah.
And he hasn't had that ability yet. So hopefully he can get more of those out of Seth. And now he's on the same brand as his girlfriend.
Yeah, well, that got confirmed. And
yeah, and then thrown into a promo.
Didn't take long.
No, I think you put the over at 2 weeks, and I think you were right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the show was going okay. You know, there's a few sloppy things here and there. There was the
World's Champion.
Yep, there were the weird Ray and Joe thing that they're going to... We don't know if it was a botch or if it was real or what the heck's going on with that.
That image of Joe, though, was really great.
Oh, it's fantastic. And then we get to the men's Money in the Bank. Before
which was
this,
a
Sammy,
great match, by the way.
Yeah, Sammy was taken out. We didn't know why Sammy was taken out. And yeah, it was a great match. Ricochet's getting thrown over the place. Finn just somehow was alive. I don't know how.
Oh, God, That match is your clinical definition of a car wreck, and it's must see up until the end.
Well, yeah, so it's going really cool. It's going great. And then there's a part where Baron Corbin climbs the ladder, and I'm like, I should kind of reference this, that Joel had called me the night before. I didn't watch it because I watched Game of Thrones, so I watched Money in the Bank the next day. So I'm watching this, and Joel kind of laughs about it. He's like, oh, this ending, ha, 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 ha. So then Corbin starts climbing. I'm like, oh, my God, did Baron Corbin win the Money in the Bank? And then Corbin falls off, and Ali comes up. I'm like, oh, my goodness, what's going on? Is Ali going to win the Money in the Bank? No. Brock Lesnar comes out and wins the Money in the Bank. And everyone in wrestling is mad. AEW stuff all over. Even Jericho's trolling them. But then 48 hours later, I don't hate it.
Here's my thing with the Brock Lesnar having Money in the Bank. If Brock had been gone for a year, I think this would be great. I think this would be brilliant. This adds a new wrinkle to his character, to his gimmick, to who Brock is. You feel like that's a legitimate threat that's going to murder the World Heavyweight Champion. But somehow this feels like we're repeating history over and over and over and over again, and that's why we're getting AEW chance. That's why there's more of a push for All Elite Wrestling. That's why there's more of a push for Japan and Ring of Honor and all these other alternatives, is because this is very much a repeat of history. I don't hate the idea. I don't like the execution. I feel like this is another example of a company that is nervous about the ratings, and this is a move of being like, the ratings are scaring us, we have to do something. And then them doing something like this. Allegedly, Ali was told he was going to win. Then he was told he's not going to win the day of, and he was told that an eighth man was going to come out and push them down. Everyone else around them was told that that was going to happen, but they didn't really have an idea what was happening. And then the Beast Incarnate is your Money in the Bank for 2019.
It's... I'm just here for the Brock Beatbox memes.
Yes.
That's the best part about it. If anything, it was worth it for the Brock beat. And I don't even like memes, but Brock playing it like a beatbox was great. It was fantastic. But on a more serious note, I like this because for the first time in 2 years, Brock feels fresh and Heyman feels fresh. I like the tease that Brock can, like, we've had Money in the Bank teases before, right? Brock is the most dominant Money in the Bank winner ever. Even when Strowman had it, they tried to do it, and you never took it serious. The Monster in the Bank. Beast in the Bank works a lot better because you have Heyman.
Yeah, absolutely. You have a mouthpiece. I don't like that next week they're going to reveal who he's going to cash in on.
Will they?
I hope they don't. I hope they...
Because guess what they might face on Monday? They may face Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
I hope this goes for a few months. This is one thing where Brock doesn't have to be there every night.
Right. Also, they may face the Stanley. They're facing the Stanley Cup for sure on Monday.
That's right.
Yeah. So they're facing the Stanley Cup and possibly Game 7 of the NBA Eastern Conference Finals.
I hope they keep. I'd love to have Brock just randomly show up at shows causing trouble.
Me too. I don't want to see Brock and Seth just yet. I mean, you got to see it live. It was an okay match. I think you were probably surprised it started. No, you probably surprised it started live, though, first.
Yeah, it was fun to see Seth do that. I enjoyed that. He beat Brock twice now.
Yeah.
I've seen Brock lose twice now.
This is true. And you've seen Brock lose fast twice.
Yep.
Paul Heyman's got a banjo from the arenas.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to go anymore.
I didn't like the Brock idea at first because I'm like, give it to a guy that's fresh. But I will say these past 2 shows, Heyman feels fresh, Brock feels fresh. It's a nice twist. I agree with you. I don't want them to cash it in on Monday. I want to drag it out. So, because Brock has one of those theme songs that's just so dominant. And if you just made Brock just go away for a while and then the music hits, it'd be great, but it's probably just going to be Brock and Seth and Saudi. And yay. Then the Money in the Banks are just gone for the whole year. I want a Money in the Bank around for most of the year. That's why I like Money in the Bank. I don't like the night of cash-ins.
Yeah.
I'm kind of over them.
Yeah, stretch them out a little bit.
That's 2 times the women have done that now. Because Bliss did it last year, and now Bayley did it this year, which, cool, I'm happy for Bayley and everything like that, but I like the stretch out. Like, Carmella had that thing for so long. It was great.
Just treat it like Edge. Like, have it be the ultimate opportunist.
Yeah. So, there we are with the Brock. I would say, Joel, you're more leaning towards don't like it, but just like, you know, you can see there's some part of it that's okay.
You got to look at both sides, but ultimately I think we've been trained to know that WWE is going to somehow screw this up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're going to land.
Let's talk about 24/7.
Which is apparently, according to Dave Meltzer, was an idea pitched by USA to help boost the ratings. And this was the best of the bad ideas. I'd love to know what other ideas USA pitched.
We have to. One day those are going to be leaked, right?
Oh, they have to be.
So, I will say this. The belt is ugly as sin. Joel and I can agree on that.
Oh, yes.
I find it entertaining. It's a fun turn-your-brain-off segment.
It's essentially, depending on the execution, and again, yes, WWE is not good at execution.
But no.
Depending on the execution, this potentially gives all your lower mid-card guys something to do, something to chase after, something to run after. You can have... The one thing that WWE's been lacking is being the elite-esque show. This yes. 24/7 title could be there being the elite.
Which may be gone in 6 months.
Yeah, there could be a void that WWE mm-hmm. could fill with this 24/7 title. I don't think it'll be around that long, but nevertheless, you got to think that that this title could be potentially something okay, but more than likely it'll fail. But you could have a YouTube show with R-Truth, Drake Maverick, EC3, all these mid-card guys.
That Good Brothers.
Like you do you remember a couple of years ago the DDT
JBL
Iron Man heavyweight title, whatever it was called?
No.
There was a title that was is essentially what the 24/7 title is. It was featured on BTE a couple times, I think, where Joey Ryan had it and anyone could pin them. So at one point, Squared Circle, the subreddit for pro wrestling, was the champion. Joey Ryan was the champion. A crowd was the champion. It was just pure madness, and it did decently on social media. I feel like with this title, you could do something similar.
I think it's just I think it's fun, and I mean, there's more moments too that like the moment of like the Good Brothers kind of fighting back and forth. That I thought I have not laughed that loud at wrestling when Bobby Roode tried to get in the car and the ref was in there. I thought that was just clever.
It's just wrestling's supposed to be stupid sometimes.
Yeah, it is, and I think sometimes we take things too seriously, and it's okay to have fun with wrestling once in a while. I mean, today on BTE. We're going to talk about AEW later, but just David Arquette getting invited to a special party, and it was a super kick party. Just stuff like that is stupid and fun sometimes.
You need stupid and fun.
So, look, is it the greatest idea in the world? No. But sometimes you need a break from all this bullshit. And you know what? There's guys in that roster that deserve to not just be in catering and deserve to have the spotlight on them. And who knows? Maybe you'll make a start of someone with this. Who knows? Like, I'm actually really happy that Titus O'Neil, I'm really happy that he's the first champion of this. I think Titus is the greatest wrestler, but he's such a good human being and an ambassador for this company that he deserved to have something like that on his resume. Because he's just such a good ambassador for this company, and I don't know what else you could really give him, but he being the first inaugural 24/7 for Titus O'Neil, sure, that works.
It's something that you can go, hey, no, you got a feather under your cap, and as long as it keeps going, then I think it's you got to just build off it and let it go. But as we've learned,
we'll see. So let's get down to them a little bit more. Saudi Arabia. always a fun subject. So Sami Zayn obviously isn't going because of what Saudi Arabia and Syria are going through and just how not good Saudi Arabia is to Syrians. Kevin Owens isn't going because his family said he doesn't want him to go. Brian's going because, well, we know Brian's political views and that doesn't match up with his political views. And Aleister Black isn't going because, well, his tattoos don't really make sense in that country.
And they may be a little too religious and maybe a little satanic and maybe just a little witchcrafty, which I think, no, I don't know what the rule in Saudi is for it, but I can't imagine it's good. You wouldn't have to show if you came to Calgary. I swear, you can come here. We can't pay you the Saudi money, but you can come here and all your guys can perform. And women, too.
Yeah, that'd be funny. Aleister Black's wife could actually be on that show.
Now he gets
something.
Gets to spend time with her.
Yeah, he does.
But it will be equal to...
Yeah, I'm sorry, Joel. You didn't go to WrestleMania. Sorry. You didn't go to the biggest show of the year. You went to the second biggest show of the year. Not the biggest show of the year.
Oh, it's so stupid. It is so...
Why? Why would you say that line? You're not getting people to even go to the show. And this is like a week after Stephanie or someone like was asked, like, are you worried about going against the NBA Finals? Well, no, because we're an on-demand show. It's like, okay, so you're not worried about facing the NBA because you're an on-demand show, but you're obviously saying this the equivalent of WrestleMania because you're trying to get people to buy into it.
Oh, man. This is just... I feel like the thing is, AEW, for the hiccups and everything that it's had, it's a new company. But it feels like the more times the news swings negatively for WWE, and you hear nice little things from AEW. I mean, that Brandon Cutler?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm MJF here in this situation. Like, the contract they offered him, and just that moment, and you get to see that he gets two separate contracts. One for wrestler, one for web content design or content producer. I'd kill for that job. You hear those positive things and then you see this. Like the Hangman Page, the full gear donation that he's doing with that, with the bottle that says Michael's special sauce or special drink, whatever the hell it is.
From Space Jam.
Space Jam. Just positive little things, and then you're like, yeah, some of our guys can't go because they may get into trouble with the country, so they're not going. But hey, the dream matchup that has been 20 years in the making, Josh.
It's a geriatric WrestleMania dream match. What's the combined age? What's the combined age?
I don't know, and I don't want to know.
Okay, let's do this quick. How old do we think Undertaker is? 53?
50, 51, 52.
Okay, so Undertaker, how old is he? Undertaker, Mark Calloway is 54.
This is already a bad start.
Yeah, he just turned 54 in March, so he's a young 54. And Goldberg, who's an American actor now, Bill Goldberg, that's what he's listed as. Good for him. Goldberg's 52.
106.
Yeah, 106 years old between the two competitors in the ring. Yeah.
Better than WrestleMania.
Better than WrestleMania. When would Goldberg...
I'm not going to be stranded in New Jersey, at least, so...
No.
Maybe it is an upgrade.
When would have Goldberg and Undertaker... been at top for a pot, like the year gap, like when would the close have been for this match to really have mattered?
99 2000.
Don't think if it happened in 2005 it would have mattered?
It probably would have, but
I'm thinking like 2010 is like the end of it, because that's when Taker started the drag out.
Yeah, I think somewhere around there they would have done a decent job. I feel like right off the Monday Night Wars, I feel like both of that would have been white hot. Hey, this gives us hope that maybe one day the Saudis will throw enough money at Sting.
You know they're going to.
Oh, man. This just...
Austin's going to happen. I'm telling you right now, Austin's going to happen.
And I don't that's see it happening, because Austin's got a show on the USA Network. He'll be doing, I think it's 7 or 8 episodes where he'll be interviewing different people. And it'll be them just traveling around different unique towns and them just swapping life stories and doing interviews. And I think one of the people on there is Becky.
I'm saying for like the fall one.
I think Austin's done.
I hope you're right.
I do too. I really do.
I don't want to see Austin's 54, by the way. He turns 55 in December.
Yeah, it's better to leave that alone.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you and I mean, but Joel, guess what? For the first time ever, Randy Orton and Triple H in Saudi Arabia.
Did you see the video package? They recounted the history of Randy and...
No. I just want to say really quickly, my favorite thing from WWE this week, for the first time in Tacoma, Randy Orton and Roman Reigns.
That was an ad that played up here, and
the first time it took, so I made the joke to Joel. I'm like,
So that's just what we're going to do now. For the first time in Anchorage, Alaska, Randy Orton and John Cena. You've never seen it in Anchorage, Alaska.
Because we just got to keep rehashing the same things over and over and over again.
No, the Triple H Randy promo. No, what happened with that?
It was a recount of their history. And you see how long this has been going for, and you're like, oh, I just don't care. I just don't care at all.
Jeez.
I was a little disappointed with the Bray promo vignette. I was hoping for a little bit more. I want more from the Funhouse. I'm disappointed that the Funhouse may be done.
Well, yeah, it's the classic thing. Like, I'm not trying to sound like that bit of wrestling fan, but I guess I'm going to sound like that bit of wrestling fan. It's just that situation of, oh, something's getting over. Let me make sure that I don't give a fuck about it and pull the rug from underneath your feet.
I feel like this was I feel like until Bray shows up in person, you should have kept those Firefly Funhouses going.
I agree. So I don't know when he'll show up.
It was creepy as hell, though. Don't get me wrong. That is creepy as hell.
I don't know when he'll show up. Maybe he'll be at Saudi? What are the other matches we have for Saudi, by the way?
I don't know, and I'm not interested in going over that card because I'm not gonna watch. It'll be the lost pay-per-view for me.
I'm watching. I mean, as much as I make fun of it, there's one match I want to watch. I'm interested in Goldberg and Undertaker.
I don't know if I can watch it.
It'll probably be my worst match of the year.
I just don't know if I can watch it, man. I just can't.
I actually, it's funny in that match, you would have told me a handful of years ago, Undertaker and Goldberg are in a match. Who are you the more concerned with that's going to be the worst part of the match? I would have thought the answer would be Undertaker.
Well,
I think Goldberg will be fine.
Yeah, I don't know, man. This is just, I'm not feeling this.
All you got to do is just book it the way you booked Mania. It's got to be like a 6-minute match, all plunder. Like a spear, or like body slam, spear, dead man get up, choke slam, pile driver, tombstone pile driver, and then end of the match. It's not that hard in the book.
There's no way WCW is winning.
No, there's no fucking chance. Sorry. What is? Moving on, unfortunately, we had some injury news. We were wondering where Ruby Riott was, but she's got a broken wing, it looks like.
I think she has double shoulder surgery, I think.
That's unfortunate. Well, I mean, at least we know where she is now. Not that it's a positive or anything like that. She's a really talented woman wrestler, and hopefully we see her soon back. Riott Squad, they just became a job squad. I think Liv has the personality to get over, and I don't know what happens to Sarah.
Yeah, it just kind of seems like they're both. A lot of the roster is kind of left motionless.
I mean, Nikki Cross is just now kind of getting something, and it's really working. Like, I really like the Nikki Cross character right now. But, again, for how long are they going to have that before Vince like kind of gets his fingers into it and just messes it up?
It doesn't take long for that to happen.
And then we will finish off by, he is the cockroach of the WWE. Just when you think he's squashed and gone, he comes.
He had a decent promo on SmackDown. I have no issue with it.
Oh, he did. Dolph Ziggler is back.
I don't think it's bad. I mean,
No.
These guys have seldomly wrestled Ziggler and Kofi, so this is kind of a fresh matchup. I just feel like, well, Seth had that big moment with AJ, and that helped push him a step forward. Feel like Kofi hasn't had that yet, and I think Kofi needs that. Kofi needs that, and I don't know if Kofi can do it himself, but I think Kofi needs that big win. Personally,
I agree.
If I was picking, I'd pick Randy in this spot personally, but I think Ziggler's all right, and I think it's a fresh enough matchup that you can do.
match. I mean, they used to – they had a lot of matches in the early aughts for the IC title, like quite a few of them. But now they've been away for so long, like you were saying, it kind of does refresh the matchup. And it's two guys that are pretty much those only guys that are left from like the early 2000s that kind of made it out, like MVP, Shelton, Masters, Carlito. This was the class after them. And these are the two guys that kind of really have lasted so long with that company.
It's crazy to see who still lasts and who still keeps going.
I would have thought it would have been a Chris Masters, obviously, right? Or like maybe it would have been maybe an MVP would have lasted longer. Shelton's still there, but whenever they think it's convenient, use Shelton.
Yeah.
So no, you know, it's cool to see Ziggs back. Him and Kof should have some good matches. I'm guessing that'll be the match for Saudi Arabia.
It is, because no one else that could face Kofi is going. So
there you go.
That's why Ziggs is back.
And then I guess some just quick NXT matches. Tyler Breeze looks to be back in NXT and is taking on the Velveteen Dream.
I'm okay with that because he had a really good line from NXT. Do you want to hear it?
Yep.
He cut a promo on Velveteen, and he basically said, "You can put your number on your tights, but when someone doesn't call you, that means they don't want you called up. Basically, wording like that, basically taking a shot at Dream for his call me up Vince.
Yeah.
So, and then he attacked. I think this will be a good program, and I think Dream will more than likely win this. But then again, if Breeze is going to NXT, North American title is not a bad place to start with him.
I agree. And that is it from the WWE this past week. Ooh. It's go ahead.
Johnny's working through a knee injury, but Gargano will be good for June 1st. And it sounds like whoever comes out of that match on June 1st, either Johnny Gargano or Adam Cole, will face Matt Riddle in Toronto for the NXT title. So NXT's looking good. NXT's the new hope of the WWE that just doesn't seem to extinguish, because there's always something good going on down there that you can watch and enjoy, so...
Who's Kushida facing at that pay-per-view? Do we know?
Pardon?
Or is Kushida facing anyone on that show?
I don't think any announcements have been made, but I'm sure we'll get a clear picture in the next couple weeks here.
Right.
Partially because it's weekend.
Right.
Think about it. Two Saturdays. This Saturday we've got AEW, and then next Saturday we got NXT.
Stanley Cup, the NHL, the NBA Finals.
That is starting as well.
I'm just gonna check really quickly here who they would face. I don't have the dates right now, but they could. I'm assuming they're gonna be facing NXT at least is gonna be facing either an NBA Finals or a Stanley Cup game.
That's okay, because I'll watch my NXT and I'll be happy.
It's on demand. Yeah, it's on demand, like they said. So there is from the WWE, but we also, like we've kind of been doing lately, did a separate AEW pod previewing Double or Nothing. And you can go check that out as well as it comes out. And everyone follow One Fall Where You Go. And shouts to Mo and the creative team from We Talk Podcast, making the new site and making it look absolutely gorgeous. Appreciate that from everyone and their hard work over there. For Joel Johnson, I'm Joshua Adam and Arbuthnot. Until next time, cheers!
Equal to or better than WrestleMania.
Enjoy the day, people.
Goodbye! And good night, Ben!